The WBEN All Local.
All Local.
A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
Here are the stories we're following Friday, May 29th.
A Buffalo police officer and suspect identified in Tuesday's East Side shooting.
A long-held dream of turning Buffalo into a Great Lakes port for cruise ships became reality as the American Patriot pulled into the Erie Basin Marina. I'm Jim Fink, and coming up, I talked to some of the passengers.
Utility rebate checks are part of the new state budget.
New rules on who will be able to use the county suite in the new Bills Stadium.
The prognosis is good for Buffalo police officer Mark Hurst, a 9-year veteran with C District, shot 6 times while responding to a domestic call Tuesday on the East Side. Hurst is currently recovering following surgery at ECMC. He was shot once in each calf, once in the upper thigh, once in the upper arm, and twice in his bulletproof vest, hitting his radio and taser. The suspect, 33-year-old Minhaz Siddiqui, has been charged with first-degree attempted murder. He is stable at ECMC, and officials say further charges are anticipated.
All right, well, we'll continue to bring you the latest on that story. Not far from Canal Side, the first cruise ship to visit Buffalo in decades, giving a new look to the waterfront. Here's WBEN's Jim Fink.
The dream, the vision, the game plan to turn Buffalo into a Great Lakes cruise ship destination became a reality just before 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon. That's when the 130-passenger American Patriot pulled into the Erie Basin Marina, a watershed moment for Buffalo as it officially joined the growing ranks of Great Lakes cruise ship ports. And don't undersell that moment, said Karen Utz, Empire State Development Regional Director.
It's as tangible gets. We see the passengers on board looking out and chatting with the people along the side. They're happy to be here. It's a beautiful day, beautiful weather.
American Cruise Lines, parent company for the American Patriot, will be bringing the American Patriot into Buffalo 7 times this summer, and 5 of those 7 cruises are already sold out. For this trip, where passengers will be spending 48 hours in Buffalo, side trips include Niagara Falls, the Botanical Gardens, the Darwin Martin House, and the Albright Knox Art Gallery. But for some, like Eric Peterson, there is something more basic in mind.
I'd like to have a beef on weck, to be honest.
Visit Buffalo's Patrick Kaler estimates the local economic impact from the 7 American Patriot stops here will exceed $1 million. This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
All right. Really cool to see that come in yesterday. Fireboat Cotter was there to greet it, and it came in a lot earlier than everybody expected. They first told us it was going to be around 9 o'clock last night. Then they moved it up to 5:30. And then the ship was here at like 4 o'clock. So it got a few people by surprise. But
it was motoring.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah.
Definitely gives a new little look to, you know,
the waterfront,
everything. I do have to say, though, it is a little jarring if you haven't seen a Great Lakes cruise ship before, but you have been on like a cruise.
Right. It's a lot smaller. But the other thing is, this particular cruise ship that's here is even smaller than other Great Lakes cruise ships. So this is, we're just,
yeah,
just slowly building up.
Larger ships once there's an actual cruise port here in Buffalo. But, you know, just the start of it, pretty exciting still. Erie County legislators yesterday approved new rules on who will be able to use the county suite in the new Bills Stadium. The legislature approved amendments that state the suite cannot be used for political purposes or events. That means county officials can't attend games for free, though there's no ban on county or state officials from using the suite.
I am a little bit concerned that we're not banning elected officials, that there's a lot of documentation over the last few years as far as the current stadium and the abuses by elected officials. I voted overall in favor of the existing or the new policy that's been put in place. It's not perfect, but, you know, it's good. It's a big improvement from what was first presented to the legislature. And, you know, in the end, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. It's a step in the right direction to have this policy in place.
It's County Legislator Chris Green. There will be a lottery system to distribute game tickets to charity organizations that apply. The names of all suite guests need to be provided to the legislature within 30 days.
The Treasury Department launches the Trump Accounts app nationwide.
Speaking at the White House Thursday, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent revealing the Trump Accounts app is live.
Nearly 6 million American children have been signed up for Trump Accounts, which will launch on July 4th.
Explaining parents and guardians will be able to start funding the accounts in July, and the government will contribute a $1,000 seed investment to those with children born during President Trump's second term.
I've been a big proponent of financial literacy, and I think this is going to be one of the greatest real-time financial literacy educations in history.
Noting he thinks the effort will help create a generation of shareholders. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Right, interesting there. Well, meanwhile, New York State giving residents $1 billion in one-time rebate checks from rising utility bills. As part of the newly signed state budget, the program will give $200 to joint filers who make under $150,000 a year, $150 to joint filers who make between $150,000 and $300,000 a year. Anyone who files single makes under $150,000 will receive $100 back. Checks expected to be issued between September and December. Fancy that.
Interesting time there.
Right in that sweet spot.
America 250 in Western New York.
America 250 this week, the women's suffrage movement. We'll be in the spotlight locally with a little help from a touring production. WBEN's Brayton Wilson has the
Buffalo
story.
And Western New York played an active role during the decades-long women's suffrage movement that eventually led to the 1920 ratification of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, granting women the right to vote. While other parts of New York played more of a role in women's suffrage earlier, such as the Women's Convention in Seneca Falls or with Susan B. Anthony in Rochester, Buffalo's involvement comes a little bit later, especially with the Buffalo Six.
There are six women from Buffalo who were engaged directly with the protests in Washington that surrounded World War One, and that seemed to really energize the movement in a different way, to be more vocal, protesting outside the White House. And so this Buffalo Six, these six Buffalo women, were all arrested and served time in a workhouse in Virginia outside of Washington, D.C., and that's really important.
That's Erie County historian Doug Kohler. Sherry Scavone, CEO of the Western New York Women's Foundation, agrees that the work of the Buffalo Six played a huge role in the national movement to help women secure the right to vote in equality.
When we look at our history, there's a reason. And I think when we forget that women fought for years and years and what they gave in times when there wasn't social media, there wasn't ways to easily communicate, getting from Buffalo to Washington was a task in and of itself. You didn't certainly get on an airplane. And so when we forget that, I think we take for granted our opportunities and our freedoms and our rights.
The significance of women's suffrage takes center stage next week when the touring Broadway musical Suffs makes a six-day stop in Buffalo at Shea's Buffalo Theater. Actress Gretchen Shope feels Suffs is a show that can captivate the minds of both musical theater and non-musical theater fans alike.
In a lot of our history classes, the women's suffrage movement and women's involvement in history in general and beyond the suffrage movement is just kind of looked over or discarded and not really given a lot of credit. And so I think the opportunity to just really highlight it, to focus solely in on women's story, is a privilege and a gift, and just to be able to give them the credit that so often is ignored.
More on Buffalo's impact on women's suffrage can be found online. Brayton Wilson, WBEN.com News.
Brayton, thank you, and should be interesting this week to kind of see that come into Buffalo, take center stage.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, mostly sunny skies for the first part of the day. Clouds will increase later this afternoon. Winds will increase as well with high temperatures near 70. Tonight, can't rule out a stray shower early this evening. Overnight lows in the mid-40s. On Saturday, we're in the mid-60s with sunshine. On Sunday, near 70. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
And a major milestone is happening this weekend at OLV, National Shrine and Basilica in Lackawanna. Monsignor David LaPuma is on the Bison Automotive Live Line this morning. It's OLV's centennial celebration. It's been years in the making. Father David, it's here, celebrating the basilica that Father Baker built. Do you find yourself, I guess, trying to envision what it was like 100 years ago?
Well, first of all, good morning, and thank you for having me on this morning. Right now, my heart is full. I'm sitting here looking at Our Lady of Victory, and I'm sitting here, have Father Baker right before me, and I just, trying to imagine what it was like for him on that day. And it was May 25th, 1926, when it was consecrated. The joy that must have filled his heart seeing this magnificent shrine that he conceived and brought to fruition. And now 100 years later, to see it restored and just immaculate and beautiful in every way, is very exciting. I can't even express it.
Yeah, that restoration effort. Can you describe what's been restored at the Basilica for our listeners and for people who maybe haven't seen the shrine in, you know, years? How different will it look?
You have to come to see it to believe it. But I give credit to all my predecessors because they've all done their work along the way in keeping it and taking care of it. But it did get to the point where it needed major restoration. So we started actually in 2021 with the drainage. We did the roofs. We're working on the copper dome right now. That's going to go till 2027, replacing all of that. We've restored all the floors and the marble floors and the pews, plaster and paint repair, new lighting, up lighting, so you can really now appreciate the beauty of the murals. The new plaster and paint repair is just stunning in every way. We've cleaned all the stained glass windows and restored all of them. It's just a shining. It pops. I mean, when you walk in, people that are here every day watching it are just amazed, and people that are coming for the first time just stand in awe. I just had a wedding yesterday and a lot of visitors for the first time from out of town, and they were just, you could watch their faces just in awe. It's very exciting. I encourage people to come and see for themselves, but it's absolutely beautiful.
You know what? I drove by last night as that wedding was letting out, and the shine that was coming off the copper dome was just unbelievable. And I thought, you know, what, this weekend is here for you, and it's just absolutely amazing. Is there anything left to do on the work for the restoration?
Well, actually, there is. I mean, the copper dome continues. That's all weather-related, but they're going to get it done. They're working hard on it right now. But our next adventure is the Welcome Plaza. We're going to redo the whole back parking lot, which was never meant to be a parking lot. Years ago, Father Baker's Protectory was there. That's where he lived. It was a huge, huge building. There was a high school back there. Those buildings were torn down, eventually became the parking lot. It's kind of the main entrance that people use. Back in the day, they'd walk in the front of the Basilica or they'd park across the street. But the back really needs to be all redone, so it's much more welcoming, signage, how to get in, how to get out, more green space, more lighting, just to beautify the back, because now we have this beautiful basilica. We want the entrance to be a welcoming entrance for everyone.
You've been celebrating 100 years. It's not just this Mass coming up this weekend, but you've been really celebrating this for a number of years. How have those celebrations gone, and what are some of the things you've been doing over the past 5 years?
Yes, yeah, so it all began back in August of 2021 when Bishop Fisher came for the blessing of the cornerstone. We put a time capsule in that the kids put together, and then it just began from there with a series of concerts. We had two BPO concerts with Joanne Folletta, which were absolutely amazing. We've had lecture series. We've had Kids Night Under the Dome. We've had Father Baker on tap for young professionals. We've done expositions, St. John's Bible. We've had artists come and paint from the outside, paint from the inside. It's just been one thing after another, and it's been a team of people that I cannot thank enough that have made this all happen. We just keep looking for new opportunities to welcome people to come of all faith traditions, but to celebrate the legacy of Father Baker. And it's been, you can see the increase in traffic of people coming through. We put people counters in, and we average over 250,000 people a year that come through the doors of the Basilica. And it's inspiring. I couldn't be more grateful. And everything we can do to highlight the legacy of Father Baker and honor Our Lady of Victory is what it's all about.
Well, for this weekend, there's a grand gala tomorrow and then a centennial Mass on Sunday. If people want to attend that Mass, can they?
Yes, they can. If they go to www.centennialmass.org, but honestly, just show up. We put up extra chairs. We've made sure that we have it open for everyone to come. The Mass is at 2 o'clock. Bishop Fisher is going to be the celebrant. We have a number of priests coming, religious, donors, benefactors, parishioners. And then after the Mass, there's going to be a beautiful tent reception in the back for people to come in and to enjoy. During the Mass, we're bringing up artifacts during the presentation of the gifts along with the bread and wine. I'm sitting here right now. I have a statue of Our Lady of Victory that belonged to Father Baker that was passed on to each of the pastors. and now it's in my possession. So that's going to be brought up as a gift. I have Father Baker's Beretta. I have his breviary that he prayed, you know, the prayer book 100 years ago. So these are tangible things that you can look at and say, wow, that's he held that, he touched that. And it's just, it's glorious. On Saturday, tomorrow, we're having a gala for over 400 people at the Statler. The Statler, you know, opened in 1923, so we know and believe that Father Baker also went to events there. So we're trying to do period pieces. But the gala really is to thank parishioners, benefactors, donors, and to really just celebrate this 100th anniversary.
Well, it's a great anniversary. You mentioned the artifacts from Father Baker. I mean, 100 years, what does that mean for the legacy of Father Baker, which only really continues to grow here in Western New York? And, of course, everybody wants to know what that means for potential sainthood down the line.
Yes. You know, in the he was named for Western New York the most influential citizen in the 20th century, and his influence still continues to this day. We see it in our human services. We see it in all the children and youth that we take care of. But also right now, it highlights Father Baker, and what I'm hoping and praying now is that the next step will get those two miracles that we need for beatification and canonization, and that will be the pinnacle. It'll be the ultimate to have him become what we all know he is already, but to have it known throughout the world. And that's our goal. That we keep working at that. We keep praying for it each and every day, and I just know and believe that it's going to happen, and I'm praying fervently.
Everything, it seems, has lined up for you, including the weather, which looks amazing this weekend.
I know. Last weekend was so bad, and I kept praying to Our Lady of Victory. I said, I know you want this to be a beautiful day, and so we're having extremely beautiful weather. It's really ideal weather, so I'm thanking, again, Our Lady of Victory and Father Baker for making all this possible, because it wouldn't be possible without their faith, without his faith and his trust in our Blessed Mother, and that's the, I think, the testament for all of us. If you just believe and trust, as he did, everything is possible.
Yeah, well, beautiful weather to check out the beautiful basilica that's really been preserved, and a lot of work's gone into what you see today. Father David, thanks so much for being on with us this morning. Always appreciate it.
In every way possible. Thank you.
Father David LaPuma from Our Lady of Victory Basilica and National Shrine.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.